Welcome to the IonaHoops.com podcast with your host, Guy Flotico.
What's up, Gale Nation? It's season 4, episode 23 of the IonaHoops.com podcast. We are almost at a full roster. Almost one spot remaining. So that's pretty exciting stuff. We've got another episode where we're going to have a couple of great guests on to help us take a look at a couple of Gales joining us this year. So that'll be the theme, I think, for a lot more of this off season of podcasts for sure, because there's, well, a whole new roster. So, we had knocked out 4 guys with one guest last time. So, hopefully we will keep that efficiency up, but, it might be a little harder to do moving forward. But anyway, so we've got some IOTAs coming up. We've got another State of the Union, and then we'll get to our guests. But of course, like I said, you know it's coming. It's Iona IOTA time.
Iona IOTAs.
Welcome to Iona. Jalen Barr, 6'4 wing, transferred from Division II Flagler, averaged 9 points, 7 rebounds, 2 steals, and a block per game. Freak athlete, 2-time defensive player of the year in his league. He'll be a grad transfer for us. Battled injuries throughout his career, even all the way dating back to high school with a football injury. So he's had kind of a rocky career in terms of injuries, but solid player, defensive-minded. When you look at the highlight clips, there's a couple different comparisons that will come up. I immediately went to Barrick Jean-Louis. A couple people had other ideas, including Kelvin Amayo, if you remember him. So just one of those freak athlete types to me. And I, if he can even be, you know, pretty good on defense like Barrick was, it's going to make a big difference. I've thought Barrick was the heart and soul of some of those Patino teams, quite frankly. And I know we have, Walter and Dennis, and those guys might both end up in the NBA before this is all over. Barrick was the heart and soul in my mind. If this kid can have even a portion of that kind of impact on our lineup, it's going to make a big difference for us. Anyway, welcome to the Gales, Jalen Barr.
Iona.
How about a little bit of non-conference scheduling update? Very little bit. You guys know we're going to be in the mid-major portion of the tournament that will take place at the Baja Mar in Nassau in the Bahamas, one of my favorite places. Oh, by the way, watch Black Sails. Anyway, learned of a couple of the opponents that will be in part of that tournament. We have Indiana State, which is coming off a tremendous year, but its program is now going through a little bit of an overhaul. So we'll see what they look like. The other one, how about Hofstra? We just can't get rid of them. Every tournament we get in, they're in it. So far, that's what we know. There's others, of course, being talked about. Nothing else confirmed. That one came to me through the grapevine. So we will keep an eye on the rest of that field, but that's a pretty solid start so far for that field. So stay tuned, watch Black Sails, and book your trips for Nassau right after Thanksgiving.
Iona.
Okay, folks. I know you guys heard me talk about Gales Nation, the collective, NIL, and all that. I'd like to learn a little more about what you all think about it. And I put a post on the message board and I put a tweet on Twitter asking about your thoughts about it. Broad thoughts, but also, are you giving to the collective? And if not, why not? And if you are you getting what you want out of it? I'd still want to know that. So again, you're listening to this. I want to know what you think. So you can email me, generichoopfan@yahoo.com. You can just reply to me on Twitter or DM me on Twitter. You can, if you're on the message board and you're hearing this, you can DM me there. So you can reach out to me and let me know. I'll be careful. Sometimes with the email, of course, it goes into spam and I might not know you reached out. But so Twitter and the board are more reliable in that regard. But again, I want to know your opinion. You're anonymous other than to me. I'm not taking your name and sending it to anybody I own or anything like that. I'm just trying to gather information. We want to learn more about what people think of of NIL and of our own collective and about participation and that sort of thing. So just please reach out to me with your take if you haven't done so already. I've already heard from a great number of you, and I only put the posts up there yesterday afternoon. So that's great. I'm gathering some wonderful information that will inform how the collective moves forward, quite frankly. So please go ahead and reach out to me if you're listening to this and you are an Iona fan specifically, because I'd like to know what you think about it all. All right, let's talk State of the Union time. So the roster, like I said, just about done. One spot remaining at the addition of Barr. You guys are all wondering, what are we doing with that last spot? Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Ansley Aminor? The answer is no. So forget that. Is it going to be a 7-footer? The answer is probably no. Who are we looking at? Well, there's been, we had a visitor that was reported by a few outlets, including the player himself, a high schooler out of Virginia and out of the Virginia Premier Program, which gave us Alex Bates and Dylan Saunders last year. But a kid by the name of Ben Wesson, who is a first team All-State in Virginia, and last season averaged 18 points a game, shooting 45% from three. Also doing well in the AAU circuit. He also just visited Vermont. So he's a high caliber player and high caliber kid. I know Tobin is high on him and he just visited a couple days back. So we'll see if Ben Wesson commits to us. He would be a freshman, obviously, coming to us for next season if he does commit. If not, you know, hey, Portal still has a whole lot of names in it. And, you know, we'll see where we go from there. But that would be the way to round up the roster. So let's talk about what all this means. First of all, you guys want to talk about, Ansley Aminor. Hey, the rumors were up until, about 12 hours before this recording, that he was going to go to Siena. How can that be? How can Siena get a player that Tobin coached? You know what? So from what I'm understanding, Siena is going to overpay for him if they do get him. And that's if they do get him. Most recent things I'm hearing, some bigger schools starting to get involved. Aminor's got an agent that, picture an agent in the most derogatory way you can. And that's what this guy probably is like. So he could still end up committing to Siena, but you may not. So we'll see about that. But so what are we, again, what do you think of our roster? I got news for you. Again, we talked about this last podcast. I'm not worried about our rebounding. I'm not worried about our interior play. I'm almost going to guarantee you we're going to see improvements in those areas just because it's just a different types of kids we're going to have in the paint next year. I mean, we had Oz, who was never healthy and real thin. We had Sully, who was a solid player, but a little undersized at 6'7" for somebody who was playing that kind of role, and a freshman on top of that. And then the next option we had, and he was only there until 3 weeks to go in the season, was Gordon, who was playing in basically an undersized power forward role for us. So enough of that. We're going to be bigger and more physical. Even if we don't end up with a 7-foot center, in my mind, we are stronger in the front court than we were this past year, without a doubt. So we'll see where all that lands up. But I like the way the roster is shaped up. There's a better balance in ages. I mean, we have a pretty good split between freshmen and sophomores and juniors and seniors, whereas last year we had a whole bunch of freshmen and a whole bunch of grad students and a couple players in between. And I think that kind of leads to a little bit that did lead to some uneven relationships maybe on the team and maybe uncertainty in some roles and things like that. Whereas here it's a more structured roster, more balanced. And I think we'll be in a better place going into this summer's workouts. So what does it all mean? How are we looking for this year? Where is Iona in the pecking order right now in the MAC? I feel like we're going to make a pretty good jump. I mean, what I've seen is for the second straight year, the MAC has just gotten absolutely raided by the portal. And I mean, there's nobody left again, nobody left except for, somehow, some way Quinnipiac kept a couple guys. And so look, and they look good. So Quinnipiac is going to be the MAC favorite next year, which is fine. I would not doubt that we are going to be in the mix right into that second tier. Whoever else might join us in that second tier. That I don't know if that'll be Fairfield. I don't know if it'll be Ryder. I don't know. You know, it's so hard to tell when you have all these teams with all these new players. And, you know, Canisius is still working on a roster. I mean, there's no way to tell anymore who's going to do what. So we'll have to just kind of wait and see. But, you know, I mean, if you're an Iona fan, yeah, you might be unhappy with the way the last season went, and you might look up and say, well, the MAC's never going to be good again. We should get out of the league and all that other nonsense. But this is the league we're in right now, and all we can do is win the league we're in right now. And Tobin and the staff have put us in a position to do that. That's all we can ask right now. And then we'll just see how it all comes together. So no much more to say about any of that right now, but certainly we'll learn more about all these guys that we're getting over the next few weeks as we have more guests on this podcast. We'll have Tobin on at some point to talk about them more. Maybe even somebody like Pat Wallace will join us too along the way. And we'll just learn more about these guys, and we'll see how the summer workouts are going and learn even more. So stay tuned in all that regard, but keep the faith, people. Be positive. All right. I think it's time to get to our guests, speaking of picking up some knowledge from some of our new players. We have two guests today. The first one I want to mention will be somebody you guys are familiar with. We've had him on the podcast before. Of all things, it was Matt Gifford from, he covers St. Joe's for 247 Sports. And he was on to help us preview what we will now forget, the Iona St. Joe's game from last season. So he's going to be on to talk about Christian Winborn. And we also have Gary Sharp. He's a co-host of the Sharp and Hanley show on 1620 The Zone. Also, he was the play-by-play man for University of Nebraska Omaha. He is going to talk to us about Luke Jungers. So I will now switch over to those two interviews. Well, I'm going to bring back a name here that we did catch up with during this season. We have Matt Gifford here. He covers St. Joe's for 247 Sports. You can find him on Twitter at HHH Hardwood. Is that right? No,
HH Hardwood. Yep.
H-H, okay, so I had an extra H in there. HH Hardwood, yeah. So you guys will remember we had Matt on to talk about the St. Joe's game that we will not talk about now because of that ugly affair. Maybe he was a bad luck for us then, but maybe he's going to be good luck this time now, as we have him here to talk about Christian Winborn, a new Gale. First of all, Matt, thanks for coming back on.
Oh yeah, no pleasure. Always. This is great.
So let's talk about Christian. He was a three-star, top 250 player out of high school, getting Big East offers. I know Rutgers, Seton Hall were involved. Ends up at St. Joe's. Had a good freshman campaign there, 6 points per game, played 22 minutes a game. So give me a little bit more about how his freshman year went, how his recruitment went, as far as you guys know, and then how his freshman year went.
Yeah, so Christian came in with a good bit of hype. I know Billy Lang, prior to last season, was on with the Field of 68 guys, like Rob Doster and those guys, and he had some pretty glowing things to say about Christian. He commented something along the lines of, and I am paraphrasing here, but something along the lines of Christian has everything to become one of the great guards to come through St. Joe's. And that's a pretty lofty compliment. I mean, St. Joe's has had some pretty fantastic guards, even just within recent history, multiple guys moving on to the NBA. So for Christian to get that sort of praise from a coach that does give it, but is pretty careful, definitely had fans excited. Went out last year in the preseason exhibition game and was the best St. Joe's player on the floor. So there was a lot of hype. There was a lot of excitement. And as you said, he had a really solid freshman year. He had 19 points and was frankly, again, the best St. Joe's player on the court against, of all teams, Fairleigh Dickinson, coached by one Tobin Anderson, mm-hmm. In a game where, I think St. Joe's went into that game not ready to be tough enough, and Tobin's FDU team was very tough. And frankly, a lot of the St. Joe's guards looked shocked, and I'm including some good guards in that conversation. Christian was the best St. Joe's player on the floor with 19. He had 15 in a win over Loyola Chicago as a freshman. Really fast, and that was on display throughout last season. Could find his spots, good court vision. Really the thing that held him back from being even better last year really was just the shooting. And he had a track record of being a pretty solid shooter. Didn't shoot the ball well as a freshman at all. And that was probably the one weakness there. But in terms of like the intangibles, the toughness, the IQ, I think he was St. Joe's best on-ball defender last year as a freshman. I mean, I can see how Tobin watched him up close and personal and saw a guy that he would want to coach. There's a lot of tools in his toolbox.
Mm. Well, I'm going to swing back to that because you brought up a couple of key words there I want to go back to. So now we go into the 23-24 season. St. Joe's had some pretty high expectations. And a pretty talented roster top to bottom. Well, Iona got to see that firsthand as we saw, but what happened there? So it's December and it's before we even played you guys.
Yeah.
And Christian was gone.
Yeah.
Give me a rundown of what happened from say preseason or even before, if it's relevant, up until, you know, he was gone. What happened there?
Yeah, so I'm going to preface all this by saying all of my interactions that I had with Christian, and I spoke with him in high school after he committed to St. Joe's for a profile piece, did an interview with him in the St. Joe's gym last summer between his freshman and sophomore years. Incredibly engaging, funny, really smart. I mean, he had Harvard after him out of high school. And you can tell that in terms of just the way he interacts and converses. He's a very bright personality, both in terms of like his intellect, but also in terms of his thoughtfulness. So just a really engaging, fun guy to be around. Like if you get the chance to talk to him, I think you'll really enjoy it. He came into last offseason looking at that 3-point shooting percentage, which was somewhere in the 17s. And I think the plan from the coaching staff and him was that number needs to like double in order to get minutes, in order to get a lot of minutes. And frankly, just didn't play a lot of minutes. And he has a couple of little injury knacks here and there. And then I think, Guy, frankly, what probably happened is, so St. Joe's roster for the Iona fans that maybe blanked that game out of their mind. St. Joe's had a first team all league guard in Eric Reynolds, who somehow is still coming back to St. Joe's next year, which is, I've talked about on my stuff, remarkable. Lynn Greer, who was a Dayton transfer, who's played a lot. And then really kind of what you were looking at is, I think Billy Lang wanted to play three guards plus Cameron Brown plus a big man. Xavier Brown came into St. Joe's with some expectations, Philly guy, his stepfather is Justin Scott, the assistant coach. And he just absolutely ran past all of those expectations and was the A-10 rookie of the year. And despite Chris Caputo at George Washington arguing for his guy, I don't think it was close. I mean, I think that Xavier was a borderline like second, third team all-league guy as a freshman. He's that good. I think he'll play in the NBA for a long time. And Christian just in a three-guard heavy lineup with a wing sort of ended up being that odd man out. And I don't think it was really an indication that he struggled so much as these other guys were just really good. And looking at playing time, looking at minutes, I don't know if Christian foresaw a path to the role that he wanted to have, right? Like you're a high school kid, you commit to an A-10 school over, as you said, Big East schools. You don't want to go somewhere to play 12 minutes. And that sort of seemed to be, Guy, the path that he was on. As kind of like a fourth guard, maybe more of like a defensive specialist, certain roles, but like, I don't think that's what he signed up for, frankly. And I think at Iona, he'll have an opportunity to shine as like a lead guy.
Yeah. So like to your point, yeah. I mean, and it, to me, you know, a lot of people, a lot of Iona fans So let me give you a quick story. I get you might remember a player named Greg Gordon for us.
Yeah.
He left what, about 3 weeks ago in the season. He pretty much quit on the team and just left. And we went downhill right after that. We started actually play better, and then he left and the team fell apart. So there's some like quitter thing going on there that was really irking the fan base.
Yeah.
So we get Christian, and we first thing everybody realizes is like, wait, he quit on his team in December. Not something to worry about for Iona fans, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have the specific details on exactly what happened with the transfer during the season. With all the things I feel like we can get upset about, which you and I talked about off the air about the state of college basketball. I've been doing this 20 years. I feel like you've been, I don't know exactly how long you've been following this, but probably that long as well.
Yep.
The in-season transfers have sort of always happened. Like that's sort of always been a part of college basketball for reasons like this. I can't speak for this specific. I don't view it as a case of Christian quitting on the team. Do I think that St. Joe's would have been a better team if he stayed? Yeah. Do I think St. Joe's maybe would have had a shot at an at-large this year had he stayed? Kinda, because like their one of their weaknesses was perimeter defense, and he was a really good on-ball defender. But I've had multiple interactions with him, spoken to a lot of people that knew him in high school and college. I mean, put it this way, you still have like St. Joe's players on this team that when he committed to Iona are reposting the stuff on social media. Mm-hmm. Good luck, Chris. Like, I don't get the sense that there was a ton of bad blood here. I wouldn't look at it so much as like him giving up. I genuinely think it was a case where he looked at what he was expecting and what was happening, mixed with, again, it could be other things as well, guy. Like, we don't always look at the student part of the student athlete thing.
Right.
Maybe there was something there as well, but I don't look at him, and I don't know, but I don't look at him as a guy where I would have character concerns. I mean, really good student, high character, teammates liked him. I wouldn't have a finger anywhere near a panic button.
Sounds good. So now I want to go back to what you said about the meeting 2 years ago when Tobin brought FDU in there, and you said that you were surprised. There was a lot of surprise about the toughness that Tobin had. It was a problem we had last year that the team was not tough enough, and Tobin purposely, I mean, he's been saying that going into this, every kid that we brought in is a tough kid. And I think Chris, from what you're describing, again, Christian raising his level playing against a team like FDU that year shows that he can play with that toughness too. He's capable.
I think
that tough guard mentality that Tobin was looking for.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I mean, that FDU team, I don't want to misspeak and mess ages up and exaggerate, but I remember after that game, looking at that roster and being like, oh, that guy's like 23. I think they had some transfers on that team that were like fifth year, possibly sixth year level guy, like grown men. And Christian was a 18, 19 year old freshman, and he was not scared in that game. He was picking up full court defensively. He was not flustered. He wasn't getting like emotional when calls weren't going his way. I think that he's a tough kid. He's not the biggest guy by any stretch, but he's tough mentally and physically. And I think that I'm sure Tobin watching that made a little mental note like, oh, not sure if it's going to work. I mean, probably that day Tobin's watching him and thinking, if anything, this is a kid that's going to be transferring up, not a kid that I'm going to be able to get at Iona because that's how good he was. But yeah, no, really tough kid.
Yeah.
And really gritty, and we'll do the dirty work. We'll dive for loose balls, fight for rebounds, all that stuff.
And you wonder, the cliches. You wonder if that game was part of the selling point too. Like,
again, I would be shocked if not.
Tobin was interested, but maybe he saw, look how hard these kids are playing for Tobin. If I'm going to go somewhere else, I'm going to
do that. Yeah, I could definitely see that be something that, not just from Tobin's point of view being like, that's the guy I want, but for Christian in wanting to find a fit in terms of style of play. And I mean, like, frankly, like if I'm a player looking to transfer at a certain level, there's not a lot of guys I would probably rather play for over Tobin. Like, he has the charisma, he has the track record. I think I tweeted it out like immediately after the commitment that I feel like that whole like great get thing gets so overused.
Yeah.
Everybody's a great get for everybody, but This is one that I do think could really work well. Like, I think that's a level that he can be the guy at. And I really think you have a guy that like could be the guy. Like, I think you're looking at a double figure scorer. I think you're looking at a all league level defender. I think he's a playable, like, rotation guy in the A-10, like a good rotation guy on a good team. And maybe even like a starter on a mid table A-10 team. St. Joe's just has such a good backcourt.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, that sounds great. Matt, I really appreciate you coming on again. So thank you again for taking the time. I think this was really insightful. I do think Christian is going to be somebody I know fans are going to really get into, because again, there is that toughness that last year's team lacked and you knew it. And you're seeing these kids that Tobin's bringing in, and he just is one of those kids, again, high IQ, tough kid. And I feel like I'm saying that of every kid I own is bringing in this.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly that's what Tobin's looking for. Right. Yeah. And I don't say this to put anyone, other players down or to build him up. And I'm not saying it like cavalierly. He is a guy that I will follow still. He's a guy that I will continue to watch, and I will be an Iona fan this year, and I will want to see Christian have success.
Man, well, so would I. And hopefully we don't talk any more about that game that we played. You guys,
now that can be left. Can
forget all about that game ever happened. And
that can be ignored for now.
Well, again, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate your time. Everybody, HH Hardwood on Twitter, give him a follow for your St. Joe's and A-10 desires, because I follow him quite a bit, and I follow the A-10, and I follow everybody else too. So it's always great to have somebody like you on to share such insights about a player like this. So thank you again.
You got it. No, thanks for having me.
Gary Sharp is the co-host of Sharp and Hanley program on 1620 The Zone, and he's also the play-by-play man for Nebraska Omaha basketball. He is here to drop some knowledge on one of our newest Gales, Luke Jungers, who played for University of Nebraska Omaha in 2022, medical redshirt last year. So we're going to learn all about Luke here from Gary. Gary, thank you for joining the podcast.
Hey, thank you, Guy.
So Luke had a good first freshman year. He's, of course, 6'9", stretch four, 7.3 boards a game, 80% from the line. Iona fans like that because we were not a good free throw shooter last year. 39% from three in 2022 as well. So talk about his freshman year a little bit for us. Is he, I mean, again, I hate the term stretch four because it really just kind of pigeonholes you. But is he a stretch four? Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah, that's I'm with you, Guy. I think that's the best way to describe him. So I've known Luke for a while. He's an Omaha kid. So he played at a all-boys school, pretty good basketball school called Creighton Prep. So I've seen him play 3 years of varsity and then essentially a year plus. You know, he did play a little bit last year before medically redshirting. But stretch four is the best way to describe him. You know, I think the best thing about Luke's game is his shooting. It really has been a kind of interesting journey. So he didn't play a lot as a freshman because there were a couple guys in front of him. But as he got more comfortable in the college game, in his shot, his minutes increased. But what really helped him, Guy, was last year he went and played over in Europe with Germany. And he really, his offensive game took off. He was in playing some FIBA basketball. And, you know, that's where I really saw him get more confidence in his shot. And also he got a little bit bigger, where he would put the ball on the floor and drive from the wing. But if he has a good point guard that can feed him, he's got a nice jump shot. As long as he squares his feet, man, he can get into a rhythm and he can score 6, 9, 12, 15 before you know it.
So one thing I wanted to ask about is a theme from last year's Iona team and then this year's recruiting class that Tobin Anderson has brought in was toughness. Can you describe what kind of a player is he tough enough to guard a 6'9", 6'10" kid down on the low post, as even though we're describing him as a stretch four?
Yeah, that's probably the only thing that is the unknown about his game is if he can bang with somebody down low. He wasn't asked to do that much in Omaha, and I'm not saying that he can't. It's just in the Summit League, you don't find a lot of 6'9" guys that are not fellow stretch fours. 6'9" guys that live in the paint or live around, you know, live in the neighborhood of the basket. So he wasn't asked to guard those guys. Not that he can't, but I would say that, you know, that's the one thing that probably could take the next step in his game is defense, and especially interior defense. You know, his foot speed has gotten better, but it can still have a room to grow. So that would be the thing to watch as he develops on the defensive end. I think his offensive game is pretty refined. I think the defensive end of it, he's going to have to adjust whether he's guarding a fellow stretch four or you're asked to go down low and bang with guys that are 6'8", 6'9".
Okay. And can you tell us about the system that Omaha was running when he was there? Just for reference for what Ione is doing, Tobin likes to press a lot. He likes to use a lot of guys and play very high energy defense, running a lot of five out motion on offense. Based on what you know of Luke's game, how does that fit him on both ends?
Well, you know, I know a little bit about Tobin and what he's done in his brief career. The offense that he's running now at Ione is kind of the offense they run at Omaha. So that won't be as much of an adjustment for Luke. And I think, so talking to Luke when he made the decision, Guy, I think that was an attractive part was, one, you know, he's away from home. He's always been an Omaha kid. He went to high school in Omaha. He went to, you know, Nebraska, Omaha. So he basically, he went 12 blocks from high school to college. And I think when he was looking around, he wanted an offense that, you know, was kind of familiar to him, whether it be high school or what he just played in. And I think that's why Ione kind of rose to the top. It was in a different place. It was in a different league. People don't know him. He doesn't know everybody else, but the offense is very similar where he can see himself in. And that was the selling point as well, is when they had him on his visit, they were like, you know what? We see you when you play, when you played with Omaha, you look like this. This is exactly what you'll look like in our offense.
Mm. Okay. And then tell me, I mean, you know, medical red shirt last year. Can you tell me about his injury a bit?
Well, I don't know a ton about his injury. I do know he started the year and he had a really, really good summer and he came back with a ton of confidence and his body had gotten bigger. And he started the year with us. And then there was a couple of things that went on physically. And I think it was just, he got behind and it was tough for him to catch up. So he was with us the entire year. He was actually practicing. It just, he elected to take a red shirt. And then of course, when the season was over, to put his name in the portal and end up at Ione.
Mm, okay. And just last question for you. Why do you think Ione fans are going to like him?
Well, first of all, he's a really good kid. I mean, I think he plays with a lot of energy. He's also got a little bit of an edge to him, which he's developed as he's gotten more confident. I just think his shooting, he is one of those guys, Guy, that you will see, he can get on a heater. And, you know, I mean, sometimes there'll be that heat check and you go, oh, come on, Luke, man. Why are you shooting from 23? But when he is on, he can put up points rapidly. And I think fans will really like him for that. But I also think this is a new start for him. And I think he will blend in really, really well. And he will work hard to make sure that he is in a rotation and getting minutes.
Well, I mean, that sounds great. I mean, Iona's, like I said, they've kind of built the roster a little differently this year. A little more toughness inside, but it's still a five out offense. So I to your point, I see Luke fitting into that really well. So we're excited to have him and hopefully he's here for 3 years. And these days we never know anymore.
Exactly.
Gary, thank you for coming on. Appreciate you coming on and telling us about Luke. We're excited to have him here. And again, he brings an element that the team doesn't really have right now. So I think there's a place for him. So thank you again for coming on. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Guy.
Thank you. Thanks again to everyone listening and also to my guests, Gary Sharp and Matt Gifford, for coming on and dropping some knowledge with us. Again, like I said, a whole lot more of these kinds of interviews coming up, and we're going to learn more about these players and the Gales. It's not boring anymore in the postseason with the portal and NIL and all the other stuff. So stay along for the ride, folks, and go Gales.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the IonaHoops.com podcast. This podcast is a production of IonaHoops.com with publisher Guy Filotico. The opinions shared during this podcast are those of Guy Filotico, IonaHoops.com, and any featured guests. This podcast is not affiliated with Ione University Athletics or the university itself. Thank you for supporting IonaHoops.com.